hear that? This is madness.
With 900 years old, you reach Lucasfilm, you are not.
Nerf herder.
I am a Jedi.
It's a little short for a stormtrooper.
We have what they grow beyond.
Welcome back to the Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast. On this edition of the show, alongside Chris, Ryan, and Sam, I am Mike. We will be talking about The Last Jedi 1 year later as we get a chance to relive this film. We had a very special edition of the Droids Pod underway for all of you. It was the Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast holiday special. We were rewatching the film with live commentary, and it is now one for the history books as it has been lost.
We're talking
in the ether.
Guest stars, guest appearances, the cast, the crew of most of the Star Wars movies joined us.
It was
George was here.
It took months and months to coordinate. And you know what? Some stars shine too bright for this world, and we couldn't keep it.
And so if you notice a bit more of a somber tone in this episode, you'll know why. We lost what truly was one of the great podcasts in the history of the medium.
We had 3 hours with George. He came, he left. It was fine.
I just remember, you know, growing up when I was with that podcast, I used to listen to it when I was feeling down, and you know, it really brightened my day. So it's tough. It's tough to move on from this, but we're gonna rally for the holidays for you guys, and you know, in the name of all things Star Wars, let's just get one out for the Gipper.
You know what? I'm turning this around onto the audience. It was our holiday gift for all of you to do the live commentary for The Last Jedi, but you're all naughty boys and girls this year, and you're getting coal now instead.
This is because you haven't written in.
Right.
You haven't emailed. And you know what? One of the few people who has written in, Rachel, was here and heard the entire live show.
Yeah, and contributed.
So
and contributed.
She was the one who got the gift.
Technically, it's an episode for one. Really?
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
So if you write in, if you rate and review us, we also will come to your living room and record an episode of the podcast.
So congratulations. That's a Droid Pod guarantee. Yeah.
And that's a Droid Pod guarantee. Travel on you.
This whole thing was actually just a ruse for Rachel to do just that. So congratulations, Rachel. We can't thank you enough for being a fan and writing into the pod. We weren't recording any. This whole thing was set up.
And
earlier when in the recording that we lost that that being an X-Wing pilot would have been my Make-A-Wish wish. And I think for Rachel, having the droids record in her living room on a Sunday evening later than anyone could have anticipated would also be the same thing. So we're glad that we could do that for her this holiday season.
And now she gets a second present, another episode in her living room tonight.
And what we want to do, is we want to take all that coal that we gave you guys and we want to turn it into kyber crystals here.
There it is.
All right, we want to put it under intense heat and pressure.
Yep. Oh, don't do that.
It's a little warm. Oh, Jedha.
Oh, boy.
I actually do believe it was Disney. They hacked my computer, infiltrated it, and got rid of the files
because we actually said before, it's like, oh, well, we're going to put out the sound of the movie. It's like, we will be fine. Disney heard us say that in the ether.
They did.
Through our phones. So, Disney, we're sorry.
Next really time, not use that a, unbelievable.
Next time, use an air-gapped computer.
I mean, one...
That's a computer that's never been connected to the internet. Yes, I learned that from the newsroom.
It was not connected to the internet. But it wasn't air-gapped. You're right. Exactly. It had been on the internet many times.
We're
before.
Surrounded by multiple devices that are recording us.
Yes. Well, so with that, we will get into this episode where we've rewatched the entire series. We've talked about them in retrospect. Now we're going to look back on the film that just came out a year ago on this past Friday.
As we record
on Sunday. Yeah. So we get a chance to look back on it and the things that we've done in the past. We've talked about our first experience of watching the film. I believe we all talked about it after the film in our immediate reaction podcast a year ago,
right?
As we all got together to do that show. But we also talk about what we loved about the film, what we didn't like about the film. I think in this instance, we can maybe talk a little bit about our memories of the first time watching it, even though we've recorded that in the podcast before. But maybe look back on what has been your favorite part of experiencing The Last Jedi in theaters 1 year ago this time here.
Yeah, I think for me, it was kind of the purity of seeing it that first time. We were all amped about it, and nowhere in my mind would it have had this kind of feedback wave that we saw. Like, that wasn't even a thought on my brain. We were all so amped and, like, loving it. And then as days went on, as weeks went on, as people were saying, like the actors were talking about it, and then all of a sudden find out there's Russian hackers involved, and like this story really unraveled in a very bizarre way. And I think it still is a standing topic when we mention this movie, just this kind of the backlash of where the story went and how it's kind of divided, how some people like it, some people don't. Some people like it, don't like it for the wrong reason. Some people don't like it simply because they just don't like the direction the characters went in. And I think that, to me, has been the most exciting part about this movie. And I'm wondering if that is just having something new to play with, or if that will wear off, or where that's going to go. And as we started this legendary Fabled rewatch that we were doing, a lot of the things
Fabled.
That
it is now legendary.
A lot of those topics we ourselves brought up and talked about and started defending, which I thought was super interesting. Like it's still kind of a live wire.
I think something I'll just say first in relation to like the fabled lost episode.
This is going down in the books as Orson Welles' forgotten last picture. It's going down as the cabal cut of Nightbreed. All of the things that fans have wanted for years that they never think they'll get. Well, you're never getting this one.
No, on that note, what I'd say kind of the opposite. I think what we did, there was a little bit of a proof of concept, which was that we all have a lot to say about these movies. I think that for our listeners out there who are interested, I think this very much for me, like, hit home. Like, we want to do commentaries. We will do them in the future. It's a shame, you know, we're not going to have one for you right now, but it'll be coming, and I can't wait. Like, this movie, which I've now seen 1.5 times, because we literally stopped halfway when we realized we had a hiccup there, and then we started recording this immediately.
Isn't it better that it happened that way rather than after 2 hours and 31 minutes?
Absolutely. What I'll say though is after having seen, you know, the movie once through, and then just revisiting it for the first time in a full year, it is a film that what I remember about that night is there. I immediately come to mind three films, and it was the two of them, the Dark Knight and The Dark Knight Rises, and then also Casino Royale with Daniel Craig's debut as James Bond. Those three films were movies that, like, I followed and was so excited about and had tracked and, like, anticipated for so long that, like, the movie-going experience was just, like, I was full of energy. I was, like, all of this was, like, so bottled up. I'd seen every trailer. I'd gone over every detail. And all of those movies, for me, lived up to the promise. And so I just was revisiting The Last Jedi. I was like immediately taken back there to that feeling of excitement and fulfillment, and just like it. There's only a few movies that have done that for me.
I'm very impressed that in the rewatch commentary we're doing, Sam brought up both Batman and James Bond, and you managed to do it also in this episode.
Who?
Sam actually started doing a commentary for Tim Burton's Batman.
I immediately went into parallels between like the way Burton was in 89 was referencing the original Star Wars trench run.
Michael Keaton's performance, Prince's original soundtrack, all the things that it has in common with The Last Jedi.
I do think if we're missing anything in The Last Jedi, it could use more Prince, and I think that goes for just about every film.
Like a song called like Four Stance.
I thought you were going to say Four Stains. I don't know why. I thought that's
Four Stains. It's a
nope. Nope.
That's one for after.
Let's Ryan.
This has been the droid you're looking for, a holiday special.
No. Merry Christmas, children.
Ryan or Mike, what about you guys? Oh, Chris has got to have some candy.
No, your experience, for the record, memories.
My experience. Okay, so I have a few things tied in with this. One, I think it's interesting what Chris said about the pure kind of experience we had before all of the press had hit.
Which, by the way,
you can experience in real time, because we recorded an episode pretty much a half hour after the movie. when we were just like, man, everybody's going to love this movie. I don't see what anyone would have a problem with.
I love having that as a time capsule. It's I think I've said it before on the podcast that we have that to go back and look at our unfiltered, uninfluenced opinions of the movie. I'd
love it. It's like listening to people being like, we're taking a cruise on the Titanic tomorrow. It's unsinkable.
this movie's so good, no one could hate it.
So I have a few. There are like personal experiences I have with it, which is like, being just an emotional wreck, seeing Chris as a sweaty mess in the theater, a bunch of us going to see it at Lincoln Center.
It was very hot in that theater.
It was
though.
Very hot.
That is not on.
A bunch of us going
Chris.
To see it at a Lincoln Center, which is a memory
was
that
it
I
you
that it
I
was that me. It was that me.
Chris passed out numerous times in the theater.
Yeah.
So like those are experiences I have just from seeing the movie, but the movie itself. I mean, I've talked about this ad nauseum, but that throne room sequence where they're fighting, to me, is still one of the most thrilling experiences I've ever had in a movie first time. I think that it's just an incredibly earned moment. My adoration of the movie grows. It's been a year now. I've probably seen it around 7 or 8 times now. And every time I see it, I think that it's more and more poignant, more and more relevant. During our fabled commentary record, we talked about how film literate the movie is. That that becomes more abundantly clear each time. So
we took some shots at J.J. Abrams and really praised Rian Johnson. And so that is lost. Maybe we will now have a chance to get J.J. on the pod because he will not hear those moments.
It wasn't so much shots. We didn't really take shots.
I mean,
here's an important thing. Sam and I realized both during this watch of the podcast that the Star Wars logo isn't transparent in the middle.
I learned something new there as well.
I did not know this either.
This is something... I brought it up and Rian... Like I said, do you guys know what I just noticed for the first time ever? Mm-hmm. And Rian was like, was it that the logo is not transparent? And I was like... Yeah, so the outline, the Star Wars, when it first flashes up during the fanfare, you have the gold outline and the black interior, which I always thought was just see-through to the star field.
Same.
This and other revelations are things that you missed in the commentary. Maybe if you're good boys and girls next year, you'll get to hear it.
You'll hear episode 9, part 1. Live commentary.
During the movie. During the theater. It'll just be me and Chris being it's here.
If this sounds like something you would have liked to hear and you think, man, I really missed out and I'm bummed that this happened, I would love for you guys to tweet at Audacity.
Might be a little bit too much of a peek behind the curtain there. Those of you who listen to this pod, you're like, you use a free audio recording software instead of something legit?
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Did it sound like we were rich?
I think
Audacity costs us literally dozens of listens.
Right. Hey, well,
there are dozens of them.
1 out of 60 ain't bad. I wonder if the graphic at the beginning was a mistake and they just forgot to like remove the matting.
Yeah, they exported it. They forgot to export it with an alpha channel. Lossless plus alpha.
It's one of those last minute deals where they're just kind of like,
some intern went to the premiere and was sweating.
It's like they didn't leave it in.
Right up until like the day before, they had it actually. It was transparent. It was like what you expected, but it said Straw Wars. And the day before, they realized somebody made a typo, and it was just a quick fix.
I didn't upload a PNG. It was a JPEG.
I would love to know the scroll typos that have like how far like the worst scroll typo has gotten through like the process. Like, is it a week before release where it's like Tahee Empire is out?
I don't know. I imagine they have that locked pretty early.
You'd be surprised. Sometimes these things make it to print.
In Rian Johnson's commentary, they said that they were tweaking the scroll up until the last possible moment.
Wow.
In the beginning of season 6 of The West Wing, there's an episode where they're using one of the helicopters, and it's supposed to say United States of America, and in some scenes of it, you can actually see it says Untied States of America.
Wow.
And that was a props glitch because it was happening so quickly.
That's amazing.
Wow.
There you go.
Tidbits
from Rachel.
Something that was printed on a helicopter?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's crazy. Wow. Yeah. It happens. So
those were the post Sorkin years.
Yeah.
So we can't blame it on cocaine.
Yeah. Notoriously never makes a typo Sorkin.
Well, my experience.
What I heard about that? This is all conjecture. I heard that he used to go down to like Mexico and just write an entire season in like a weekend.
Well, if you know it, you know it.
Anyway, I'm glad that he's better now.
People aren't loving his To Kill a Mockingbird.
Are they not?
No. Mm. No, not a bit. Not a big fan.
That seems, it seemed like a slam dunk. Who are they going to upset with that? Doing an adaptation of To Kill a Mockingbird on Broadway.
Well, my experience, so much has changed in the last year for me. I've now moved out to an area where I'm closer to all of you, so I can actually do this podcast in person.
Where Brooklyn at?
But the biggest memory I have of watching that was doing the immediate podcast right afterwards. Mm-hmm. In the moment of watching the film for the first time, I echo some of what all of you said. I think the first thing that I talked about was how confident the filmmaking was after we saw what Rian Johnson had done. I don't think I fully grasped how he had rewritten so much of what we loved about Star Wars, sure. But I knew that it connected for me, that it worked for me. It was just a matter of taking more time to analyze what I was really feeling about it.
Yeah.
And then in the end, I walked away feeling like, okay, maybe there was a moment here or there that didn't work for me, but I love this film. And then it's more I've gotten into it. I think I've watched it probably 7, 8, maybe 10 times.
Yeah.
It's become close to my favorite Star Wars film, if not my favorite Star Wars film. But really the best memories I have been talking about it in the lead up to it and watching the film and then talking about it with all of you afterwards. Mm-hmm. That's the memory I have of The Last Jedi outside of seeing the film.
What's it like watching it a second time? That's my question for all of you guys. You kind of know.
You have the idea. I think also something interesting we mentioned a little bit while we were watching. It's like Solo came out since we've done this rewatch. It's been a year. And I was just kind of saying how in Solo, I never thought of the connection between Han Solo and Kylo Ren, of mm-hmm. Kylo being his son. And I often like wonder if there was a missed opportunity there. Like they could have really kind of gave us a little foreshadowing that we already knew, but I think it could have been a nice, like kind of prequel-esque type of nod where it's like, maybe there's some trait of Han Solo we didn't know that Kylo has.
Yeah,
and that's kind of like what we could have seen.
We could have seen some sort of dark side to Han, even if it was only momentarily. Be like, Han, don't do that. You know they're going to end up some.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah,
dark side.
Yeah,
I think we can all agree, and Mike probably especially because you said this specifically, is that The Last Jedi and our conversations about it have been the most significant personal experiences to happen to us in the last 12 months. Nothing more significant has happened to any of us.
Especially me.
Especially Mike.
It's just since we lost it in the record, can I quickly do my Rey Luke Skywalker impression that I did during the commentary?
Oh, yeah.
It was organic at the time, but I'll try to recreate it. Luke Skywalker. I thought he was a myth.
Wait, did we actually record that in the other episode?
Oh, we recorded it again. Hold on. I'll do it. It was subtle, so I'll do it again.
I just got chills.
Luke Skywalker.
That's really
so
good. That's
See, I'm going to really do a terrible job of doing the opposite of that because I was waiting for the moment where Luke says about being a legend because I was Luke Skywalker, a legend. No, it's terrible.
No, I like that. I thought that was good. Chris, you got one?
Ryan's really
good. Somebody say there's been an awakening.
Do you want me to do like this next one?
And then say like, do
there's
you feel it?
There's been an awakening. Have you felt it?
Yes. That's how he says it in the movie.
Sam, what do you got?
I don't have one from The Last Jedi because I haven't seen it enough.
That's all right, man. It could be anything. It could be one. It could be your uncle.
Somebody give me feed me. If you know, feed me that was the only name they ever. That was the only name they ever gave me.
That was the only name they ever gave me.
Well, I ain't using it. FN, huh? Finn. I'm going to call you Finn. Something like that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's pretty good.
Then he says, good to meet you, Finn. Good to meet you too, Poe.
Good to meet you, Finn.
One of the best parts about losing that other podcast is that I said the phrase, there's always a bigger fish, about 16 times. I don't know why I got hung up on it, but I said it a lot.
Actually,
I was looking for motifs in The Last Jedi. About
those podcasts.
Something we noted before the last podcast that I made sure to bring up in the last podcast that was then lost. We'll call
Why
it the last
just,
lost.
Let's try
podcast,
to do it from the top. So this is the opening scrawl.
No. We talked about how
scrawl. I did it. Sorry, go ahead.
We talked
Clearly
about
we aren't watching the movie,
guys. Also, let's just be clear. We we watched about an hour of it, and like each of us probably had about two drinks during that time. So yeah.
Let's call that a warm up.
But Mike did comment that that my beard situation is looking like a young Obi-Wan.
This is true.
So there's always a bigger fish.
Actually, I'd like to do a call out to our fans. If you
except that's a Qui-Gon line,
if you
isn't
feel
it?
That
yeah, no, it is. And what I'll need to do is so I need to readjust the beard and really grow the hair.
What Sam didn't mention is that even when he brought that up in the Fabled Lost episode, that was him bringing it up from before we had started recording.
Yes. No, I brought that up. I made sure to point that out.
We might have that on audio.
We might have that part, yeah.
I think the...
nice.
That's a good thing for our listeners. If you subconsciously or consciously model your haircut after a Star Wars character or characters, send a selfie.
I know who I'm modeling mine after. Yeah. The guy who looks like Mark Birbiglia in Last Jedi. That's who I'm going for.
Yeah, right. We'll all do it.
Okay. Yeah. Well, each of us will.
I'm quickly moving toward a Maz Kanata.
We will post. We will post photos.
I've got a real Jabba vibe going.
I think one of the most interesting things that came out of the Lost Pod we are going to try to talk about here in this episode of the show. We had mentioned that there's always been a conversation about Captain Admiral. No, not Captain Admiral. Admiral Hodo. And Laura Dern's character in The Last Jedi, and how those who have a problem with the film often seem to have a problem with Laura Dern's character and the representation of her and her relationship with Poe. And I think we want to bring in Rachel and have her perspective on this dynamic between the two of them, because it's divisive, but really it shouldn't be, because the way that it should be taken, well, you can't prescribe the way people should take a film, but the way that it was set up, if you look at it, I'll let Rachel explain it. She's going to say it a lot better than I can.
Yeah, just for context, Rachel and I were driving back to the city today, and independent of any Star Wars conversation, she brought up this recent article she'd read, and it kind of came up organically in our recording, in the idea the role that Holdo's playing, that her character plays versus Poe's, and I don't know, do you want to jump in?
Yeah.
Also, do you have a Star Wars impression that you'd like to do?
I cannot do impressions. Sorry.
Well, some could argue that neither can we.
So you guys were talking about how Poe is this guy who like skirts authority and really just he knows what's right. And he knows what he's supposed to do. And she comes in and she upholds authority. And like the part of the movie in which they meet, and she's not going to tell him what her plan is because she's management, right? She doesn't have to tell him what the plan is. And he decides to kind of go around her and like do what he thinks is best anyway. And it reminded Sam and it reminded me of this article that I read in Vulture this weekend that talks about the Eliza Dushku settlement from CBS and the harassment that she had received while on the set of Bull from Michael Weatherly. And what I thought was super interesting about the Vulture article is it didn't just analyze the settlement that she got and the situation that she specifically was in, but it looked at like two decades of shows that have been on CBS under Les Moonves and the characters that are prevalent on those shows. And it's mostly lead male protagonists who live in this kind of gray area where they do what they think is best and they're kind of going around authority. And these women who are kind of sub to the lead male protagonist who are trying to uphold authority and then get written off these shows because they are replaceable and they get in the way of what the lead male protagonist is trying to do. And it reminded me a lot of this kind of situation. Mm-hmm. And the fact that you guys were talking about how we're not supposed to like what Poe is doing. We're not supposed to like that he's going around her. But at the same time, she gets written off at the end of the movie. So even though we're being shown, like, this is not what you're supposed to do, you're not supposed to be the guy who doesn't listen to her and goes around her, she still just becomes a learning experience for him.
It worked out for Poe.
He gets to go on in the story and she's done.
The story arc is in service of the male character. It's not in service of the female character.
Exactly.
Which you're just disappointed that that's the way. But it feels like Rian Johnson was trying to say the right things but couldn't quite complete the entire arc of it. I mean, we've mentioned in the other podcast that unfortunately there are the contracts that are involved, whether it's a 3-film deal for Poe Dameron's character or for Oscar Isaac and Poe Dameron versus Laura Dern. But you go back to, this has been a common thread throughout all of media. And the one thing that you were talking about with CBS in that way reminded me, like, oh yeah, I remember why only 60-year-old plus people watch CBS. Because it's that kind of storytelling with male characters in that role that they want to relive and feel comfortable in.
I would say, like, so as far as Rian Johnson's, like, success or failure, I think that given that, you know, Poe is one of the three leads, like, the story that he told with Poe and the way that he advanced Poe's character and what Poe learned actually was all very good. And I think it was the right tack to take. It's just, like, it's still going back to, like, what is the status quo? And it kind of like on one of these CBS shows, the male protagonist would be rewarded for bucking authority challenging authority. Whereas Poe was actually, like, proven wrong for doing that. And it's only when he accepts the authority and in fact shoulders some of it himself and shoulders the responsibility and learns from that, he, like, gets how it works. So it's actually not his rebellious actions that get him rewarded. Whereas I think in a lot of those shows it is. So I think we can still count this as a step forward. I really like the Holdo character. I like what they did with Poe in this movie and the way he learned. But I do think that you had an interesting point, Rachel, which is that, like, the end result is still that, like, the powerful, cool, you know, badass lady is not going to be back, given, right. You know, now they gave her a hell of a way out,
it was a right step, but it was just like a baby step.
But you also, I mean, Rian,
they could have done so much more.
Rian had mentioned the other pod that, oh, that would have been a great way for Poe Dameron to go out. But then Poe Dameron gets this heroic end.
Yeah.
And it is a beautiful, maybe one of my favorite, like, character endings in all of the series. So that's something to be said for what that character got.
I think it's maybe my favorite visual moment in the series, including, like, I'm considering the throne room and everything in that.
Yeah, yeah. You're talking about the light speed through
the actual light speed moment, which we unfortunately didn't get to. And I'm looking forward to, you know, when we do get to a commentary in the future, is like, that's, like, one of the most beautiful visuals in the entire series. I think I do think
though that if Poe had been the one to do that, it would have solved some of the issues that Rachel's bringing up, because Haldo would have gotten to continue forward, Poe would have learned his lesson and then ceased, and then Haldo, we would have gotten to see continue being her. But unfortunately, I don't know why one of them had to go, you know. Like,
do you think if the roles had been reversed and Poe had, like, learned his lesson and then he'd been the martyr at the end, do you think all of the fans that reacted negatively to Luke Skywalker dying would have reacted the same way to Poe's death?
I think we would have had
a similar, like, toxic masculinity, I think there would have been worse.
That toxicity would have also gone even more so towards Holdo. Holdo made him do it. Holdo made us lose Poe Dameron.
Yeah. Well, I wholeheartedly agree.
When we started talking about this, before you brought up that point, which I think is true, we were saying how Poe is a character who we like, who is exhibiting, like, overt toxic masculinity. He's, like you said, he's bucking an authority with which he has no reason to doubt, other than the fact that, like, it is, like, a female superior who he doesn't know. And, like, we are supposed to assume. And I think that a lot of the reaction that these, I don't even know what to call them anymore, the Last Jedi haters that, you know, that had a problem with Luke and, like, that call Rey a Mary Sue and, like, all that stuff. It's a lot of their issue with Poe was that they were like why was he proven wrong at the end? And it's like, well, because he was wrong. And it's like, what's hysterical is that, like, a lot of people chose, like, to go after Haldo's, like, aesthetic, where they were like, she has, like, this purple hair and this silly, like, outfit, like, who would ascend in a military operation? And it's like, Admiral Akbar is an octopus.
Let's not go into different species.
No, but it's like you're like, now you're drawing the line with Star Wars because you're just choosing a woman to be like they would never rise in the ranks. It's like, she shows nothing but competence and confidence in this situation.
You're a 1,000,000% correct.
How is it different than the redheaded woman who wears, like, the white gown? What's her name?
Mon Mothma?
Mon Mothma. How's it different than Mon Mothma?
Yeah. Other than that, Laura Dern has more of a character. And,
yeah. Oh, right. No, it's natural hair color, so that's okay.
Yeah. But you know what I mean? Like, in terms of, like, if you're...
But it's like that is...
How do you know the purple isn't natural?
True.
We don't know.
Star Wars.
You're right.
That is where
You've got blue milk, green milk, and purple hair.
That's where I think that Rian Johnson's... I think that what Rian Johnson was trying to do was noble in terms of, like, him showing... A character who we love exhibit toxic masculinity, despite the fact that we love them, and all like showing that like that is something that's present in many people. It's not so black and white. It's more nuanced than like there's good guys and bad guys, and then showing him learn from that. Mm-hmm. However, I do think it's unfortunate, as Rachel brought up, which I honestly like full confession, like hadn't thought of until Rachel brought this up, which is that he learns his lesson and that is granted the lenience to move forward while the person who helped teach him that lesson ceases to exist.
Was it, Ryan, did you mention that early on, like, Poe was even a character that was, like, not supposed to exist?
He was supposed to die when they get shot down above Jakku. He was supposed to just die.
Yeah. In traditional JJ fashion of wanting someone to die and then deciding not to.
Right. Because he likes the person.
He likes the
actor. Which is fair, and like, we all love
it. So it's like this character could just be form-molded, which is a kind of an interesting thing that I think Last Jedi continues to present, is like there's still new characters and there's still new things to find out. I think a lot of what problems that people have, especially with this franchise going forward, is that we have these like interpretations of how these characters should be because they kind of dabble a little too much, in my opinion, with the old cast.
Yeah, like,
and the new cast.
Poe is our Han Solo.
Yeah, exactly. And I think they try to make those, even in Last Jedi, I think they try to make these associations a little too tight. And I think what happens is that our perceptions of these characters then get locked into this, like, they got to be this way or this way. And so I think it's exciting to see, like, where I hope we have a time jump or something in the next movie, just so we can, like, just see them different.
Well, it is hysterical when people say things like, oh, Poe would never do that. And it's like, what do you mean?
Like, we're learning about him.
I have no idea. yeah, exactly. Like, what's he going to do tomorrow?
It's like when people,
him.
I
he
mentioned
could do
this,
anything.
When people were saying, like, Leia can't do that when she like flies back to the ship, and it's like, well, she did it in the movie, so like, yeah, she can do that. Like, we're making this up
I think when we left the theater, they were like, can you do that? Somebody asked me, just knowing Star Wars, like, can you do that with the Force? I was like, we just saw it.
You can do it now.
You can do it now.
Well, it's like Rian Johnson proving that you could have those, you could project yourself across the universe by going back to one of the old Jedi books that he had to say, oh, yeah, this has been part of the canon the entire time.
Yeah.
He made the rules of this film, and the rules have been set out there, and he can choose what he wants, and now it's part of the story.
Yeah, it's
so
like
that's the case.
It's like spoiler alert for Thor Ragnarok, but at the end of Thor Ragnarok, Thor doesn't need his hammer anymore to conjure lightning.
Yeah,
right. That's like a new thing introduced in that movie of like, I don't know if it's in the comics, but like I didn't hear people being like, oh, Thor can't do that without his hammer. It's like, well, he can, obviously.
But Rian Johnson knew exactly what he was doing from the character from moment one, because of the line after Holdo gives her speech where Poe says, that's Admiral Holdo. And the way he has that line in that reading, I believe it was it Nicole who said, oh no, if this is the way they're going with this, I'm out.
Yeah. Well, he says like, that's Admiral Holdo, Battle of Chiron Belt, Admiral Holdo. And then he says like, not what I expected. So he's acknowledging that he has heard of this person, that they have a reputation that precedes them as being like beyond competent, like being very proficient at their job, and then immediately undermines them because they are not what he expected, namely that like it's a woman that he's not used to dealing with, you know. And it's like, and he immediately is like, oh, we're making our own plan. And to be fair, like to what Rian Johnson's possible intent was, like Poe sets into motion like a doomed plan that is like idiotic from the beginning.
We also and then lost and causes, all of the bombing fleet at the beginning as well, and countless lives.
Yeah, I think we talked about it on the pod. I certainly heard it talked about and you know, better articulated than I will here. But like the idea of this being a movie about failure and the way our characters fail, and then how they respond to that failure, and like it's very much that for Poe in this,
which is so interesting because Admiral Holdo does not fail, and she doesn't need to fail because she doesn't need to learn. She already knows what the best thing to do is,
right? And also, that whole thing about like not what I expected is just like that's been in cinema for how long?
Yeah,
like anybody with like general, that's, admiral, doctor,
that's
whatever.
Also, I mean,
you know, anything
that's
like that.
Also, a very big motif in Star Wars itself. It's things are coming in forms that you don't expect them. Yoda.
Sure.
So it's like kind of follows that. And for the first time, it's like this time it's applied to a newer standard that we haven't seen before.
Also,
it's a bit progressive.
In terms of form, which Rian Johnson, like we've talked about this earlier, but from like a dramaturgical kind of like perspective, he's very like every character has an arc and clear intentions and stuff. And if Poe is, just from a technical standpoint, if Poe is like, oh, this is my plan, we're going to undermine the authority, and then is correct, Poe has no arc. Poe starts off being correct and then is correct and then proves that he's correct. That's not interesting. Seeing Poe be right the whole movie isn't interesting. Right. Seeing Poe be wrong the whole movie and then realize why he was wrong, that's interesting.
That's often the Mary Sue argument for Rey, where it's like, oh, she's doing everything right, all and like doing it on the first time. If you were to make a checklist shot for shot, what Luke did correct his first time around versus what Rey did his first time around, it's like Luke clearly did a ton more stuff perfectly fine, perfectly great his first go at it. It's like you can't even like compare the two.
It's true. And then Rey gets more moments in this movie of conflict, even then in the Force Awakens, which she had plenty, but this it's like she goes after Kylo Ren, she's kind of right, and then she's dead wrong about what can be achieved with him. You know, they have the throne room sequence, and it's like, she like went and she turned him, and like then she did it. Yeah. And then we find out that she didn't.
Yeah. Luke blew up a Death Star
3 days after learning about the Force.
With his nav computer turned off.
Yeah.
Hold on. He had his nav computer off? What's he thinking?
Wow.
I'm all right.
What's wrong?
It still bugs me that was only like 3 days.
Yeah. For some reason,
it's ridiculous.
The time frame in these movies does bother me a little bit. It's like
I don't even think it's 3 days. Yeah. I think it's like 18 hours.
Yeah, that's so weird.
I mean, you can't keep my attention if something happens over a week.
That is very strange.
Doesn't bother me. It's never bothered me. I've never once thought about until Force Awakens came out and there were like pieces about what was the timeline of this movie? Like this moved so fast. They blew up what was the distance traveled and blah, blah, blah. Like that was the first time anyone had ever made me think about the timeline of Star Wars. And I was like, I hate you for making me think about that.
Sam, was that also someone from the cast of The Californians asking you that? You're like, what is the timeline?
What is even the timeline? Like, I was driving on the 101.
Also, like, these things are fairy tales. What's the timeline of Cinderella? It's about, like, 6 hours.
Those articles were written for people like me who are like, what is the timeline? Like, where's the continuity? When Rian was talking earlier about like the laws of editing or something. He was like, the fifth one, the least important one is continuity. And I was like, that is the most important thing to me when I'm watching a TV show or movie where I'm like, that mug was in the wrong place. Not the same place it was in the last scene.
Attention to detail. It's so important.
This coming from the Untied States of America woman. A shocker that she cares about continuity. I live with her. I can attest she cares about continuity.
I get it. It takes you out of the film. Yep. It takes you out of the moment. Right. You see something's wrong. And, oh, okay. This isn't reality. Right. There's no way this is an actual story.
And I think that's,
I'm here to say that you guys are wrong.
That comes out of, I think, a newfound, like, that's like kind of new school film thinking also, just because we have the ability to like rewatch.
Hey, I work for the new school.
Hey, it's just because you have the ability to rewatch these movies now at a rate and a pace that we hadn't been before. So like now we start to notice things like that a little bit more. So I think they do become more important as time goes on. And speaking of which, this movie is one of the first movies that I was able to watch in 4K, like a 4K Star Wars movie. Everyone here is rolling their eyes, but I'll tell you what, I'm very impressed. I think Star Wars movies are like shining examples of spectacle, like the best that cinema has to offer. So I think if you could see them in the highest format, I highly recommend it.
How close do you need to sit to the TV to notice what the 4K difference is?
I'll tell you what I did.
Chris knows.
With HDR, you can tell. I think one of my favorite things to do, though, is I put on the PlayStation VR, and I have the European 3D version of this movie. One of several versions of this movie. I almost bought it again tonight.
The European 3D version?
Yeah, because they
is
don't
that
have...
like the normal version, just a little more snooty?
Yeah, right. you break for tea every 4 hours.
There's a lot more on that first order ship.
Yeah, exactly. And it takes place in Downton Abbey.
You eat lunch. You eat lunch at 4 in the afternoon. Exactly.
But I watched it in the PlayStation VR headset in 3D. So I'm literally like, you turn your head, you're seeing everything in the movie. And those shots at the beginning when you're like in the cockpit.
Kylo's interrogating you.
Yeah, exactly. I started to get a little sweaty. I was feeling uncomfortable by like the people in the on the bridge and stuff. Like,
they were, it made you sick. So this experience made you feel
also,
sick.
Also, Chris, the police said that technically it wasn't a burglary because you were home when they took all the stuff,
I'm standing there shirtless with this VR thing on. They're just stealing everything around me. I have no idea. I don't understand it either.
So I was being burglarized and I was putting my shirt back on.
But I don't understand. But I do recommend if you have that. That is an option on the PlayStation VR that I think you watch a 3D movie on it once. It's not the highest quality looking thing, but it's certainly an experience. It's fun to watch a Star Wars movie in that because you're like so
Chris
in there.
Just went from saying that you had to watch these in 4K because of the visual clarity and like the high def to then being like, it's
headset.
Not the best version, but you definitely need to experience 3D and look like a
look,
dork.
When we redo this holiday special and actually rewatch it all, we'll all have different VR devices as we sit and watch individually.
So Chris suggests that everybody this holiday season check their privilege and put on their VR headset.
Well, we are well into this podcast. We haven't even talked that much about our favorite parts of this movie. I think we do an abbreviated edition of that, and we get this podcast wrapped up. Sure. Sadly, we don't have the entire commentary to give to you, as we've mentioned many times about the Fabled Lost episode.
Yep.
We will do that
be
another
next
time.
Year. Be better next year.
But let's go around the horn, and you know, I think, Ryan, you already mentioned what your favorite part of this movie is, the throne room. I will
it's probably
say
my favorite part of my life.
Really?
Is the throne room sequence.
Better than anything else Star Wars has given you?
Better than anything else that has entered my life. That throne room sequence is number one.
It'd be worse if I was saying that after the year that I've had.
Well, you've said it privately, but I won't face you. I won't make you say it on the podcast.
I'm going to reiterate what I've said on our 50th edition of the podcast, where I said my favorite thing is the Yoda scene and the idea that you know, failure is the greatest teacher. Mm-hmm. They are what you grow beyond, and being a new parent and thinking about that scene, continually I come back to it and think about how important it is in life to not only be learning from failures, going through failures, but then to not think that everything that you bestow upon someone is who they are. They grow into the person that they're going to become. And I think there's just so much to unpack in that scene that continues to play differently for me as time goes on.
I'm going to go with just the gut punch that is that final scene with Luke just entering in. I think at first that wasn't like the selling point for me. It was the throne room. But I think the more that I watch it, the more that scene like just takes me in, because they're like, they've traveled. So you're traveling this whole movie and they've traveled so far. Now they're on this remote planet, so distant from where the movie started. And now like you just see this like epic battle. And then just the trick that Luke pulls off to me, it's like, I'm going all visual here. Like this is like, it's so wild. And then you see him sitting so intensely like, yeah, that's an amazing use of Jedi skill.
I'm going to go with something, just again, because we started watching today, something that I was absolutely exhilarated by the way this movie opens. The dogfight bomber run that this movie opens with. And I think when I watch the movie again in its entirety, start to finish, I think some of the moments you've mentioned really do all hit home for me. So I don't know if this will hold up, but right now, something I was really thinking about was, I love that bomber run. I love the new type of ship. I love I love the emotional like stakes that the actress who plays Rose's sister
Paige is the name
Paige Tico, who plays Paige Tico, is like just unbelievably like powerful in a very short amount of screen time, and she does so much with it. And I would just say like seeing Poe's expertise as a I was going to say pilot, but I clearly mean flyer. His and what the X-wing can do, and sort of like just the subtleties of like the way the X-wing softly drops into frame, and he kind of like hovers it and manages just little shots like that. It's everything I love about these movies. It makes me want to go to space and be a fighter pilot on the Good Tide. You know, it was really, really cool. So
I think it's everything you love about the movies, but then it extends it to a different level with what Ryan did. Because we talked about in The Lost Pod about how he shot it in a different way, how he took what we knew and did it differently mm-hmm. and made us think about it differently. And that's not only in the way he shot the movie, but the way he wrote the film as well. But Rachel, you want to jump in here with your favorite moment?
Guys, I have so many questions. How did they build these new ships? Like, where are they getting the resources? How long does each one take?
Yeah.
Canto Bite. Remember they were talking about building ships for the good guys and bad guys.
It's just fascinating to me. Like, this is where I get caught up in the continuity and the context.
The war profiteering. It's
a world, yeah.
How do you actually make these things in the time frame that we're discussing?
You know, there must be some sort of spy brigade within the Resistance to go and get some funds to be able to build these ships. They have to be stealing money from somewhere, so they're always raiding First Order outposts whatever funds they can get. That's another series out there, I think.
Yeah, I would be interested to see that story.
I'm more curious who decided that the good guys get X-Wings and the bad guys get TIE fighters. Because, like, when DJ is on the Canto Bight, the ship they steal from Canto Bight, and he says he sees an X-Wing, or a TIE fighter, he says they were selling to the bad guys, and then he sees an X-Wing, and he says, and the good. So it's like, oh, everyone in this universe also knows that good guys fly X-Wings and bad guys fly TIE fighters.
Yeah.
Where did the war contracts come from?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, but we also know that he knew who he was talking to in that moment.
That's
you know
true.
What I mean?
That's true.
So the good guys are whoever he's talking to at the moment. You can presume that he would have said that in reverse had he been talking to First Order officers. Yeah. But did you, Rachel,
what's
did
your
you
favorite
have
part?
A favorite scene?
Gosh, I wasn't really watching most of this movie. I was in the other room.
But you saw it a year ago.
Yeah, I'm just trying to remember pieces of it that I liked. I mean, I liked all of it. Let's be clear. It's a great film. And you guys talked about a lot of wonderful moments. I will say something that we haven't talked about yet, probably because we didn't get there in the rewatch, or you didn't get there in the rewatch, was when they're escaping from the casino and they're on those, what are they, like llamas or donkeys? Sure. Some hybrid animal. I really enjoyed watching that scene in the theater. I really had a lot of fun with that. And the fact that they like released them into the wild after that was really sweet. So I'm remembering that moment now and really.
It's a beautiful scene that I don't think gets
bless
the,
you, Rachel.
I don't think it gets the credit.
Yeah. Thank God someone used
that. That warmed my heart so much. Also, Rachel loves animals so much and it's a great joy of mine in her.
Rachel, do you know that they built like an animatronic, what's it called?
Fathier.
That's the worst word.
Fathier.
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 They built like a large animatronic, one of those ones to like, you could like pet it and it moves around and stuff.
That sounds great and creepy all at the same time.
We need to get it in here.
Well, maybe they'll have the Galaxy's Edge.
They might.
The Fathier petting
zoo? Actually, if Hondo from the Clone Wars is part of Galaxy's Edge, I think they're going to bring... They actually did show in the new ride, Rise of the Resistance, the bombers will be in that ride.
Awesome.
So we'll have some of that.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, all right. I think that pretty much gets it to where we want to be in this pod.
I just remembered, actually...
Another favorite moment?
I think George is still in the bathroom. Oh no!
Let's bring him back out. We gotta tell him.
We should have told him.
George, come on in here. George, what was
you guys
George
having a slumber party?
What was your favorite part? What was your favorite part of The Last Jedi?
I gotta go.
Oh, he's gotta go. Okay.
Take some pizza.
Oh no.
You know what his favorite part might have been? Canto Bight, because it's the least like the rest of Star Wars. If you have to actually theorize, because he has said he didn't want to see anything that was like the movies he created. He wanted to see it go in different directions.
Yeah.
And that is as far, and maybe the end where it's the little boy as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Two excellent points. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not sure. Ryan Johnson, we're not sure what George Lucas really thinks at this point.
Who knows what he thinks? I think that's a fun segment in the future, though. what would George Lucas think? I like it.
I would tell you he'd probably ramble on and on for about 40 minutes about something and not really get to the point.
Sure. Are we sure that he's seen the new movies?
He's seen this. Yeah, he has.
Actually, did you attend a theater, like a presentation where he was in the theater watching the movie?
Oh, no.
Or was it?
No, I intended a presentation where Bob Iger was talking about buying Lucasfilm.
Oh, okay.
With him in the audience.
Oh, wow.
And so I was like watching George as Bob Iger was talking about.
Oh, that's
wild. I'm just curious, because like wild. Getting back to the West Wing, which is my favorite thing to talk about, Aaron Sorkin has notoriously like never watched the seasons after he left.
Oh, interesting.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. George Lucas, I know his comment on episode 8 was that it was beautifully made.
Well, there you go.
That's what that's high was his official statement.
That's high praise.
Which sounds like he was avoiding saying something else.
He just doesn't. He's not the type to wax poetic at any point.
He knows that anything he would say would be somehow read into or politicized.
Or like, misconstrued.
To say something that is a clear compliment and also gives absolutely nothing to speculate about is like, that's knows, the best he, statement he could have made.
He knows the influence of his words.
Yes, he knows his power.
Yeah, I'm also sure he doesn't want to like fuel like the men's rights activist fire that they're like, see, George doesn't like it either.
Well, hopefully he's smart enough to not do that. It seems like he has been.
We'll find out in episode 9, part 2 and part 3, directed by George Lucas.
You know what? Considering how many films they are making, why not give George another trilogy?
Do you think JJ would toss him a scene?
Do you think
he'd be like, come on set, why don't you shoot this one, buddy?
I bet.
Ooh.
I mean,
he might have already done that.
He could have done that.
He could have done that. They didn't want to say anything.
Who knows? Cantle Bite could have been all
Could have been a George.
I would love it if they just gave George a trilogy. They're like, just do whatever you want.
Just do it.
Wow.
That would be amazing.
I mean, I think if Solo would have been a massive success, then they could say, all right, yeah, we can do anything we want. But clearly they're now taking it as we can't do anything we want.
Yeah, maybe don't release them in May.
I think they found
this
out
this would
how
be
much...
the perfect time for all of us to be sitting down and talking about Solo, right?
I know. I think they found out how much one of those animatronic stormtroopers cost.
Well, but we talked about this before. Yeah. Aquaman, I'm not excited to go see. I'm not running the theater for that. If Solo was coming out this next weekend, I'd be there in a heartbeat, obviously.
Hopefully, I think...
I am excited to see Aquaman, but for different reasons than most people.
DC's burnt me so many times. Yeah. I want to love it. You guys know, if you've listened, I'm a huge Batman fan, Superman. DC was what I grew up on, and like Marvel is what I care about now.
Yeah.
You know, they've made the whole thing just better, and DC's just let me down so much. I have no interest in seeing anything for the next few years.
But we're going to see Aquaman.
Yeah, no, I'll be there. Front row.
See, they ride sharks.
Where would you see such a thing?
All right. Well, I think that's going to do it for this edition of the pod. Send us an email, droidspod@gmail.com, Twitter, droidspod, Facebook, Instagram. Also, write us a review on iTunes. We will come to your living room and record a live commentary you do that.
I like that. That's a fun idea.
That is a droids pod guarantee.
Yeah.
We promise. Oh, man, we're going to get a lot.
We're going to get so many emails.
As long as you provide
airfare. Try it.
Provide airfare.
It's not just about the emails. It is about a review. We need a 5-star review. We're going to tell you have to give 5 stars.
Yeah.
Technically, if you give 1 star,
And if we can't come to your living room, maybe we'll get you on the pod. Somehow, you know?
And if anybody can fix Audacity problems, let us know. We want to find this.
Or just if you want to tweet at Audacity and let them know what you're missing. Let them know what you're missing out on. Yeah.
Let us know.
But we'll try to have some other goodies for you the holiday season, right? We'll come up with something.
Absolutely.
You're working on that, Chris?
Oh, Chris is making promises.
Hey, there we go.
Hey, Chris is writing checks he can't cash, and we will be made to pay for them.
Programming note, we will be off next week for the holiday, but then back, I believe, 2 weeks after that. We may be off for a couple of weeks here, just with the holidays.
Yeah, with the New Year and stuff.
Yeah, so I think early January will be our next episode, but we appreciate everyone joining us here. Have a great holiday season. That is going to be all that we have for the Droids You're Looking For Star Wars podcast in 2018. Get ready for a big 2019. Several big Star Wars launches. The Mandalorian, Episode 9, more of the Resistance, Clone Wars returns as well. What a year 2019 will be.
That'll Don't forget do. Galaxy's Edge, Mike.
Oh, man, I did. Didn't I?
Galaxy's Edge.
It's my segment, and I didn't even remember it.
It all rounds up.
I bet there's going to be a new jacket.
Wow. It all rounds up next year.
That'll do it for the Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast.
We have what they grow beyond.
You boys want to go to medieval times? Hey, Chewbacca.
Hey, Chewie. Come on.
Hey, Chewbacca.